arbitrary or somehow manifestly unjust. So getting to the first argument, I think that the court was, district court was correct in that this was in fact not a rebuttal witness. The whole point of rebuttal testimony, we believe, and the district court did too, was that it has to be, it's an opportunity for the plaintiff to give them a fair shot. They're surprised by evidence at trial, surprised by an issue. Maybe they didn't think it was that important. They don't have to necessarily disclose that witness in detail for rebuttal.
I didn't really get this before, but I think I get it now. When Mr. Bendinelli offered to call Mr. McLeod, that was before the defense had even started their defense of the case?
That is correct, Your Honor.
So it wasn't the court of rebuttal, so it was just an additional witness for the plaintiff's case that had been undisclosed, right? That's really what it was.
That's true.
And you didn't know about this witness?
We didn't know about
Monday morning or the start of the day of trial?
In the record, I think the record reflects that. We were told we may have a rebuttal witness day one. Date, the court, it was brought to the court's attention. They're talking about a rebuttal witness, and the district court said, you folks worked that out, having a discussion. And then the very next day, day two, Mr. Bendinelli told plaintiff's or defense counsel who that person was. And that's when the record started. But in any case, what we have here is a situation where they called our witnesses, the defense witnesses in their case in chief, the HOA representative, the representative for the property management company, and asked him, was she at the meeting? Did she complain about the steps? So they knew when they called them, they were going to rebut it or have this other person come in, this mystery person, and testify contrary. They had their own witnesses, the plaintiff herself, her significant other, I think it was Mr. Jeffrey, testify we were at a meeting, we complained about the steps. All the time they knew during that testimony, this unknown person was going to come and rebut it. So I was surprised by this evidence. I didn't know it was important. It was in fact a planned approach. And I think it would be an unfortunate precedent to say that I can have an undisclosed witness for my case in chief, put up the experts that I know, how they're going to testify, what they're going to testify to an issue I think is important, and then have somebody come in and rebuttal at the back end when the defendant doesn't have a chance to rebut that, to adequately defend that case.
Let me ask the same question I asked Mr. Bendinelli. Had there been an offer, when the judge was making his ruling, was there an offer of proof as to what Mr. McLeod was going to say?
There was initially an offer of proof. There were two, Your Honor. I think the first time there was an offer of proof before people went back and asked what he was going to say was he's going to come in and say, I was at a meeting where a woman was present, and I believe she had some complaints about steps. I'm not really sure when she was, when she said it, and I'm not really sure who she was. Right.
So is the way I actually read the plaintiff's brief and appeal was that he was going to testify that there were sign-up sheets, that's all. But he was going to go way beyond that. He was going to testify about the statements that supposedly had been made at the meeting.
Right, and in the second offer of proof, the court asked that. They said, well, okay, what's your offer of proof now, day two? Now the defense counsel has had an opportunity to talk to Mr. Cloud. It was, well, there was another subsequent fall. We don't know when. There were emails, there were correspondence and complaints, so a significant amount of information. And that's when the district court said, this is inconsistent with your initial offer of proof. I find this misleading. I've been misled a little bit here. And then continue to rule on why she wouldn't allow this witness to.
How did the judge feel she was misled? I'm not sure I'm picking up on that.
Well, I think she initially said, and it's in the record, and she said, the district court said, initially there was a minor offer of proof that I thought I could maybe cure. Someone's going to show up and say, I think there was a woman at a meeting, as I just said.
By the second meeting, okay, he was more definite that it was this person.
Right.
Okay.
So anyway, Your Honor, I think that, that is not consistent with any of the case law cited by anyone in this case, that approach. Call someone in your case in chief, have an unknown witness you're going to name rebuttal, and have them testify.
Let me ask you another question. Once the witness was disclosed, the judge gave you an opportunity to interview him, as I understand, right?
That's correct.
And you interviewed him overnight, and you couldn't, based on that interview, prepare to cross-examine him the next day? Had he testified?
No, and it wasn't me, but it was the counsel at the time. And what they said was, what they would need, because he was adverse to the HOA and was upset, They wanted to take a deposition that would allow him to impeach him if he changed his story. There were these emails.
Did you ask the judge for permission to take, continue the trial, take his deposition?
We did not. Neither party did.
She didn't offer that, did she? No one did.
No one did. I don't know that it was discussed even in the record, Your Honor. So we would have had a chance to get those emails to determine. I don't see anywhere in the record where he actually brought the emails either, Your Honor. But in any case, when those emails were written, were they after the accident? Are they relevant? Are there really emails? Are they relevant to the subject matter? All that type of stuff we would need. We'd also need to possibly get someone to rebut that evidence if there's a dispute of what happened. So that was an issue with them testifying. I think the case Taylor v. Mazzola, that was cited, it says that you can concurrently have rebuttal evidence with evidence case in chief at the same time. Necessarily that may happen. But that doesn't mean you can bring someone in who's really a case in chief witness, testify to one or two points, and then put on your case in chief in rebuttal. The Mazzola case says that it also said we can allow this when there's no unfair advantage to the defendant and when it's not prejudicial to him, which doesn't satisfy, this case doesn't satisfy that test.
As I understand it, Judge Phillips was concerned because Mr. McLeod was going to expand his proposed testimony over the initial offer of proof to talk about his own tenant's slip and fall.
Correct, Your Honor. And we wouldn't know what stairs those were at. They may have been a slip and fall for some other reason, when it occurred, after or before, all of those things. Nowhere in the record is any of that described. Because I wasn't the one that interviewed, I can't expand on it. So in any case, Your Honor, I think that the district court had a very reasonable, rational, fair basis to decide that this was not, in fact, a rebuttal witness, but most likely a case in chief. Called a rebuttal witness because they were identified so late, and just if you see in the record, subpoenaed actually the Monday of trial, it was unlikely they were going to even be able to testify the first couple of days in their case in chief. So they were identified as a rebuttal witness almost out of necessity as much as a plan. Next question is, was the court correct in precluding the testimony because it was late? I don't think anybody really disputes that it was late. So the question is, was there a substantial reason for why they disclosed them late, and was it harmless? That's the rule under 37, and the court, I think, spelled it out. Yes, Your Honor?
No.
Okay. I think the plaintiff's biggest, strongest argument, or their argument they feel is the strongest, for why the substantially justified arguments lists for the meetings. Well, the identity of Mr. McLeod, as the court pointed out, was identified in an Exhibit C to a motion for summary judgment months before. It was a person who identified the same meeting their client went to and complained about problems with the dogs off the leash and some other complaint with the settlement.
The minutes of the January 2009 meeting showed Mr. McLeod in attendance complaining about something other than snow on the steps.
That's correct.
Okay.
Exactly. So it was 9 months before trial. So there was a document in existence that showed he was at the meeting they were at when they complained, and they could have called him up and asked him, you were at the meeting complaining. Did you see my client? Was she complaining as well? So what they're asking for is a second document that shows exactly what they already had in their possession with not as much detail. The court decided and talked about it in some length that wasn't a substantial justification.
Did the sign up sheet for that meeting show that she was there?
I don't know, Your Honor. It was never asked to be produced. I think the record will show that counsel didn't know there was a sign up sheet because they had their meeting minutes.
Which the clients knew there was a sign up sheet because they testified.
That's correct. They knew it, and they knew it in advance.
They were never produced.
They were never asked for it. It was never asked for specifically in discovery. Counsel told the court that he didn't know they existed because they were filed separately.
I understand, but even after they were disclosed by the representatives, plaintiff's counsel didn't say, let's get those sign-up sheets in here so we can look at them?
That's correct. There was no request during the trial, please produce those sign-up sheets.
Okay.
And the sign-up sheets would have just shown that she was at the meeting. The reason the minutes were disclosed was because they would identify whether she complained or not, the key issue. Whether she's at the meeting or not, is another issue the court, you know, will go through. I'm running out of time, but what's the importance of this evidence? Well, it was not that important to go to the list because she testified she was there. Mr. Jeffries testified she was there. The defendants testified I don't remember if she was there or not. The weighted evidence already showed she was probably there. The issue is, did she complain? And there's no record that she did complain. So there was testimony by her that she in fact did. So that whether or not the sign-up sheet is crucial in any case is not so. I'm not so certain. The other issue is, this is not a premises liability act case. It's a negligence case. If you look at page 173 of the record, you'll see that the findings in the jury by the jury were they unreasonable in the circumstances, causation, and also damages. So the whole issue of notice, where it may show up on a jury verdict form, was there notice, didn't happen here. So it's different than a typical PLA case. Why it wasn't, I don't know, but that was the last claim remaining. So in any case, with the limited time I have, the court decided there was no substantial justification. I think that was reasonable. They could have stopped right there, but they went on to decide whether or not it was harmless to us, which really means do we have an adequate chance to defend, which I answered Judge Richmond's case, I think, already. We would need to have deposed him, got his emails, looked at it, and prepared a defense. One other thing I would say with regard to the importance of his testimony as well, with regard to just her being there and complaining. Nowhere do you see, if you look in the transcript, the defendants arguing, gosh, if you'd have just told us, we would have done something about it. They basically say, even if she had complained, we would have just left the steps as they were. We think they're fine. They're painted properly, they're up to code, they're not particularly slippery. There's testimony by Mr. Scruggs that on page 211, I think of day two, asked if she would have called and said, fix my slippery steps, so they wouldn't have done anything. They thought the steps were fine. As far as a discovery violation, the plaintiff never specifically asked for those records during trial, as we've mentioned. They never asked during written discovery that I'm aware of anywhere for those specific records. Their own clients testified during trial that they knew there were lists, and they knew that for over a year before the trial took place, so they certainly could have asked for them. There was no denial by us to not provide those
records. The plaintiff testified that she knew there was a sign-up list?
Yes.
That was Judge Talman's question a few minutes ago, to which I think Mr. Benedelli said she didn't know there was a sign-up.
She testified, and Mr. Jeffrey testified, that when she went to the meeting in 2008-2009, she signed up a sign-up sheet. Okay. I think the last thing I would say is with regard to error. Even if this court determines, which I don't believe is in the record, but somehow there is abuse of discretion in this case, the question is whether or not that error was harmless. In this case, the jury found not only no liability, but no causation. All of this evidence goes to liability, not causation. They could reasonably determine from the record that this woman was walking down the stairs in heels, carrying things in both hands, not holding the rail, tripped or slipped and fell on her own accord, or was an accident.
There was a special verdict, or a special interrogatory, did you say that?
What was it, standard negligence one? Standard negligence form A, it says, were the defendants negligent? If they were negligent, if so, were they negligent, was it a cause of injuries and damages, and then what are the damages?
Okay. The questions were separately answered.
Yes. I don't know more, unless somebody has any questions.
No, thank you, Mr. Frazier. Thank you again, Mr. Bendinelli. We appreciate both of your arguments this morning.
Thank you.
The case will stand submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course.